First Chronicles 29. There are some statements in this chapter that are just phenomenal. And I know every page, right? Every page we get to it and all the time. This is my favorite scripture. There's just so much. The first thing we need to learn to do is fall in love with God's Word. And if we'll do that, we'll just never get bored. We'll never lose our enthusiasm because it's fresh every day. But what we find ourselves at the nearing the end of King David's life. Now, we know David's life was a remarkable life. He's great evidence to us that no matter how we have failed God, that God still loves us and that God can still use us. And so we should never give up on our faith, even in our struggles. And David had struggles. You know, we don't even know all of them, but we have a great record of struggles. But here he is at the end of his life. They've gathered the materials because, remember, it was in his heart, it was his burden to build a house for God. Because he looked out of his great cedar house, he said, and he looked over and he saw a tent. And he said, that's not fair. Why should God live in a tent when I've got this great house? And so he told the prophet what was on his mind, and he said, build it. And God said, well, not so fast. You can get the stuff together, but you can't build it. It can't come from you because you're a man of war, a man of blood. You've killed people. And so David had a heart to do it, but he knew that there were limits. But you know what he did? He pushed the limits. He did everything he could do without going beyond. And that's, just because God shut down the idea of David building it, he didn't give up on the idea. And just because he couldn't have his hands on the material, he didn't give up on the whole plan. And too many people, since they can't be in charge of it and they can't put their name on it and say, I did this, they just give up and say, well, if I can't do it, I'll just let somebody else do it. No, David called his friends and gathered materials and went in his own treasury and got gold and silver and everything else that he could find, jewels, and he gave all he could for the work of God. And now as he's encouraging the building of the temple, the end of his life, he's looking forward to what he can't do, but that he can imagine and envision. And now it's going on to his son Solomon to do this. He's excited about it. And he wants the people to get excited about it. And it is a time of thanksgiving. And that's why tonight I've chosen this text. Furthermore, David the king said to all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And that's important. Boy, that's one of those phrases. This is not for man. This is for the Lord God. You know, it'll change your attitude when your Christianity, when your ministry, when your testimony is no longer about impressing people, but about glorifying God. That'll make a difference. Because I'll tell you something. If you try to impress people, that'll only discourage them even more. Don't try to impress people. There's no value in it. And it'll discourage you more. But when we know it's not for man, it's not for my glory, and it's not so it'll make other people happy, it's for God's glory. And it'll change the way you talk to people. It'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you sing. See, some people in here won't sing because they say, well, I don't have a voice for it. Now, I appreciate you not being in the choir if you don't have a voice for it. But you sing not to please the ears of others. He said joyful noise, but he didn't say other people had to enjoy it. All right? It comes from our heart. It's for God. And if you're not going to sing, just sit there and smile. That'll be fine. But people hold back. They won't sing because they say, well, I don't have a wonderful voice. It's not for other people to hear. It's supposed to come from the heart. It's not for man, but for the Lord God. Oh, let's make that a part of who we are. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold for the things to be made of gold. Silver for the things of silver. Brass for the things of brass. Iron for the things of iron. Wood for things of wood. You're getting the idea here. In abundance, he says. All of it in abundance. I've given all I can to see this come to pass. Verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. That's one of those phrases. I have set my affection. In the New Testament, Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Right? Where's our affection supposed to be? Where's our attention supposed to be? Oh, we're thinking about heaven. We're thinking about eternity. It changes how we act. It changes how we think. It changes what we do. Our affections are right. He said, I put my affections on the house of my God. What was it that Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where are our affections? Now, this is not, somebody said the other day, the preacher never preaches about money, and this is not a message on money. And so if you're getting that idea, get it out of your mind. This is not what this is about. This is about having the right mindset of how we serve God. This is about having the right attitude toward God. He says, number one, it's not for man before the Lord. And then in verse 3, he says, I set my affection to the house of my God. So when it comes to our ministry, when it comes to our work, and you know, and I appreciate so much those who invest their time and energy in the appearance of what we have here. It's important. It's important. I'm so thankful that it's clean and it smells good and things get done, things get repaired. I appreciate people who step up and do that. It's important. It'll change our church attendance when we set our affection toward the house of the Lord. I want to be here tonight, do you? I'll tell you the truth. A lot of times I talk about, you know, wearing a suit and a tie, and I say, well, the only one time I don't wear a tie and a jacket all year is when? The night before Thanksgiving. And this afternoon I was thinking about it, and we got our new church T-shirts in. They look like the old ones, but they're new. And I thought, well, I could wear a T-shirt and jeans tonight, tennis shoes. And I thought about it, and I said, I'm going to church. I'm going to dress up and wear my tie, and everybody knows that's what I do. Even though it's that one night a year. Now, I'm going to hold that and get a rain check for later, okay? But I tell you, I enjoy getting dressed and going to church. I enjoy being here. And he says, I have set my affection toward the house of my God. We ought to have an affection for this place. We ought to love it. When you drive by, you ought to love it. I know it's just a building. I know it's not the church. It's just the tabernacle. But we ought to love this place. It ought to be special to us. And it ought to be important to us that it is all that it should be for the glory of God. I have of my own proper good of gold, silver, which I've given to the house of my God. David said, I gave an offering over and above all that I had prepared for the holy house. And then he goes on and tells us all about how much. And look, it's not that he's bragging because he wants people to know that he gave. He's doing this, and I'll tell you, this is a conflict for me as a leader. This is a conflict for me as a pastor. There are things that I do in my life that I think would be beneficial for the church to know. But I can't tell you without you thinking I'm bragging on myself. And so I don't do it. I won't tell it. But David does. David told all about it, didn't he? He told what he gave. But he was trying to impress upon them how much he was invested, how much his heart. By the way, where's David going to be? He's dying. He's going to go away. He's given all he can to God and to build the temple of God because it was a vision that he had and a burden that he had. He wanted to do something good for God. Look at verse 5. Gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So David says, look, I got all this material, but you know what? I can't make it. I can't do it. I appreciate people that we have that can do things around here. I appreciate, and I can do electrical work, but I appreciate those who know what they're doing when they do electrical work. And plumbing and drywall and painting and building and carpentry and all the stuff that has to be done and mechanicking. You know, how many of y'all fix your own car? I know people that fix their own car and it costs them more now to take it to the mechanic. They should have just taken it there in the first place. And I'm not pointing any fingers, and so if you're guilty, don't blame me. But David says, I've given all this stuff, but here's the thing. I can't make it. Number one, I'm too old. Number two, God told me to keep my hands off of it. And number three, I don't know how to do that stuff. I'm a shepherd. I'm a musician. I'm a king. I'm a warrior. But I'm not an artificer. I can't make the cups and the bowls, and I can't put that gold, layer it on the walls, and I can't build the walls or build the hall. I can't do all that stuff. But what I've done is given so that others can do it. That's what he's saying. And so here's his question. It's an important question, and it's a question to us tonight. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I appreciate Sister Denise. I took piano in high school and college, and you couldn't prove it. But I tell you what, boy, I love the piano in church. And so those are the types of things I'm talking about. So which one of us, who will consecrate himself today and say, Lord, use me. Use me. What can you do? And how will you do that for the service of God? What is it that you can do? You say, well, there's nothing I can do. I guarantee you that if you and I were to sit down, we could find something you can do for God if you will. The question is, who then will consecrate his service to the Lord? Verse number 6, I love what it says here. He says, the chief of the fathers, the prince of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. You know what they did? They say, well, if the king can give, I can give. And if the material's here, I can help. I'll do. And so it goes on. It talks about all the stuff they gave in verse 7. And in verse 8, it talks about all that they gave. Verse number 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And King David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You don't want to know why they celebrated? You want to know what made them so happy about what had happened? Because they knew they had a part in it. They knew they were part of it. I tell you, that's incredible. You know what's so important about church? If people get saved and get baptized and join the church and they don't do anything else to contribute to the ministry of the church, whether that be in here or out there, if they don't feel like they're doing something to contribute to it, and I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about bringing their friends, leading their family to Jesus and such as that, if they don't feel like they're investing something, they lose interest. Isn't that something? They rejoiced because they got a chance to be part of it. You know why? Because there were people in that crowd that had already probably talked to each other. And they said, well, I hear the king is going to build this beautiful house to God. Boy, won't it be wonderful? Yeah, sure wish there was some way I could do something. I sure wish there was some way I could be part of it. I sure wish there was something I could do. But see, I can't build, and I'm not a stone carver, and I don't know how to put gold on walls, and I don't know how to make bowls or cups or candelabra or show tables, and I don't know how to play the music. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I just feel so left out. And then the king said, you know what I did? I gave. And you know what his leadership said? They said, we'll give. And you know what the other people said? They said, we'll give too. We'll be part of this. I'm going to be part of this. Guys, I have no interest. By the way, the trip I was planning on taking in the spring has been canceled due to COVID. And so while it would have been a great learning experience, I'm not going. When they have talked about some other trips down the road, I'll be honest with you. The only reason I want to go out of the country is to go learn more about this book. That's the only reason. Now, go see a volcano if I have to go out of the country. I'll do that. But I don't have any interest in going around the world and visiting other places, even missionaries. I love our missionaries, but I don't have any interest in visiting the Philippines. It's a great place, I'm sure. I just don't have any interest in going to Russia or going to Africa or South America. I don't have any interest in it. You know what I'll do? I'll be supportive. I'll be encouraging. I'll do my part. I'll be part of that work. But I don't want to go. I've got work to do here. And so I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but that's just the way it is. By the way, if you want to go on a trip, mission trip, I'll be supportive of that. I wouldn't mind going on a mission trip. But I see what it costs. And missionaries are calling. They say, won't you come over here and preach? Well, number one, I don't speak the language. And so if I preach, somebody have to interpret it. And I know that people do that and it works. But number two, if it'll cost me $3,000 to come over there, wouldn't you rather have the $3,000 that you need in the ministry over there? I would think that'd be more beneficial. But I know people have arguments on that and debates about that. I'm here. I want to be here. And I serve here. This is where God's called me. I don't want to travel, but I'll give. I'll be part of it. I want to be part of it. I want to have missionaries around the world. I want us to have a part of those ministries. How many of y'all want to go around the world? Somebody on the TV go, me? I want to go. That's fine. But you want to know, we can have a part in it if we'll give to it. And that's what excited these people so much. They couldn't go. They couldn't do. They didn't have the skills, but they could give. Now, some people say, well, I don't have the money, but I have the skills. Then give the skills. You see how that works? It's a trade. Whatever. Whatever. Who will consecrate their services to the Lord? Today. Amen. But they rejoiced because they were able to give, and because not only did they give, but they were happy to give. Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I heard a deacon say, I don't mind if you're grouchy or not. Give it. No, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. In other words, when we offered it willingly, we ought to be happy to do our part. Now, I did preach on giving just then. You noticed that. But whatever we do, whether it's visitation or whether it's preaching or whether it's teaching or playing or singing or cleaning or building or whatever, I mean, if you want to mow the grass but you do it with an attitude, don't do it. Don't begrudge against God's work. Whatever we do for God, we ought to do it willingly. We ought to be excited to do it and happy to do it because we got to have a part. You know what Paul told Timothy? Paul said, I thank my Lord that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. He gave me a part. That's what Paul said. He gave me a part. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. And then in verses 10 through 13, he praises the Lord. Let's read it. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I like what he says in verse 14. Love this. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after the sword? People will say, you know, when you help people, they're grateful. They ought to be grateful. You ought to appreciate when people help us. But you know what? I'm grateful if I can help people. You know what really hurts is when somebody calls and says, hey, can you help me out? And I have to say, I don't have it. I'm sorry because I want to help you, but I can't. But what a privilege it is when somebody calls and says, I need some help, and you say, let me help you. That's a blessing. That's what David's saying, that we are able. Who are we that we're able to do this, that we're capable of doing this? But look at what he says. For all things come of thee. Of thine own have we given thee. Let me ask you a question. Where did the gold come from? You say, well, David got it when he raided those other... Where did it come from? They dug it up out of the ground. Where did the silver come from? Where did all those beautiful jewels come from? God already had them here. All they did was harvest them. And so David says, God, what we're giving you, I mean, it's already yours. You already put it, you made it. But see, it's a value We have declared it to be of value, and so it's valuable. But he says, all that we have given you is yours. Go to verse 17, if you will. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Here's what he says. You see what he said there at the beginning of verse 17? Thou triest the heart. God knows why we do what we do. Let me tell you something. People will question your intentions. Well, you only went and visited them because of such and such, or you only gave that because of such and such, or you only get up there and sing because of such and such, or you only preach because of such and such. People are going to criticize you. People are going to judge you. People are going to question your motives. God tries the heart. David said, you try the heart, and God, I know my heart. Hey, why are we doing what we do? Why have we given? Why have we done? What are we doing? Why are we? God tries the heart. And then verse 18, he's got one of those phrases in there that we're so familiar with. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. David said, God, don't ever let us forget this day. God, don't ever let us forget how good we feel right now in what we're doing for you. Don't ever let us lose the enthusiasm, the joy, the appreciation, the gratitude. Man, can you think back? Think back on America. Think back on all those historic figures, those names that we read about. All, you know, when we were in elementary school and throughout school, and maybe you have leisurely reading about history. I love that stuff. But you think about those people. And how that they, when they signed that declaration, they pledged their lives, their honor, their fortunes. And most of them died penniless. Not honorable to anybody around them, but they knew what they did, and they knew why they did it. As there are people who have benefited us in their ministry, in their work. I mean people we don't know the names of, but because they did what they did, we are where we are. Not just in the sense of America and the military and wars, but in the sense of ministry and the church. Maybe one day when we stand before God, maybe we'll meet them. But David said, God, don't ever let us forget this. Don't ever let us forget this. Where are we in our walk with God? Is that where we are? Where we're in our prayer time with God and we feel so close and we feel so connected and we just have that sense of worship and that sense of gratitude. And we say, God, I don't ever want to lose this feeling that I've got right now. Wow. That's where we should be. That's where we should be right now. In our walk with God. He says, God, don't ever let them forget. Let me read it again. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. Remember that. That's that spark. That spark of imagination. And David asked, prepare their heart unto thee. They had a feast. They worshiped and they celebrated God. And then Solomon took the throne. What a great thing for David. As he's going out to not make this about his missteps or even about what he's done, but to make it about God. And say, God, and as he looks at the people, look, he said, I've given. The leadership came along and they said, we want to give. And the people came along and they said, we want to give. Don't you know, as David sat there, he said, it worked. It worked. I've been leading these people and it made a difference. As he told them all that, he must have wondered, are they going to think I'm bragging? But they didn't. They looked at him and they honored him and they revered him. And they said, if you can give, we can give. And if you want to be part of it, we want to be part of it. And we were looking for a way. Look, David says, I'm going to be gone. So I got to do what I can do. And they said, we want to do what we can do. That's called leadership. That's called love. Let's stand. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege we have of being part of this work, being part of this church. You know, we're part of ministries all around the world, and we thank you for the opportunity to give whatever it is we can. God, we're so thankful to be part of this, to be able here to make a difference in lives. And I pray that we all will. And so, God, challenge us tonight who will consecrate his service to the Lord. God, use us. Every minute of every day is yours. Use it for your glory. Dismiss us now with your grace. Bring us back safely. And forgive our sins, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.